Hello, Audioboom. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of December. And it's 4:15 in the PM. I'm just cooking some dinner. I'm making cauliflower macaroni cheese. Collimac cheese. So you will have to bear with me with the clanging and clunking of various pots, etc. I'm currently just putting in my large cast iron, casserole pan into the oven with 8 rashers of smoky bacon and 3 whole cloves of garlic to roast off my bacon. I will then use some of the bacon to mix in with my bechamel and macaroni, etc. And some of it will go into the food processor and whipped up with some slices of slightly stale bread in order to make a crispy, bacony, breadcrumby topping, which will go over the top of my cauliflower mac cheese. Bit of a family favourite, this one. So, yeah, just you didn't need to know that really, did you? But there you go. So, yeah, water's boiling. I will just put in some macaroni. If I can find the macaroni in my cupboard. Have I got any macaroni? There's some macaroni. Now, yep. And because I can, I should get organised and get some of those big jars, you know, that you can kind of keep all your stuff in. Because I've got like open bags of couscous and polenta and stuff like that, and it's just asking to fall out of the cupboard and go everywhere. So I really should get some jars sorted out, because that would make quite a mess. Anyway, right, so into the large pan goes the macaroni, and also a little cheat ingredient, which is frozen cauliflower. It's a whole 500 gram bag of macaroni in there. Actually, I think I've actually got in my freezer some cauliflower and broccoli frozen. Now, is it going to be enough, or do I need some more? That one, I think, because it works quite well with broccoli in as well. And these bags of frozen stuff that you get are brilliant, really, because I think I've talked about this before, you couldn't buy that much veg as cheaply, and I think it's great just to have them in the freezer, because you can literally just chuck them straight in the pan. It wasn't quite enough there, so I've got... This must sound amazing on the recording, but we'll have some, tell you what, that bit doesn't look very nice, we'll get that one out, because it's a bit manky. I don't want that one in there, come here. Got some frozen cauliflower in this. Yeah, it just saves a load of time. It's handy just to have in the freezer all of the time, so you can use it on an ad hoc basis, and it doesn't matter if it breaks down. The only trouble I find with frozen veg is it tends to break down when you kind of cook it, especially if you cook it from frozen. But obviously when it's going into something like macaroni cheese, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to break it down anyway. I mean, obviously I wouldn't use like frozen vegetables if I was doing this sort of a chicken dinner or anything. I would always use fresh, because I don't think, even though they probably don't taste any different, I don't think they look very well presented on the plate. But in a pie or anything like that, and yeah, frozen veg all the way. Saves a load of hassle, and it's quite cheap as well. So anyway, right. Anyway, enough of that. How are we all? Let's get my macaroni off the bottom of it. I think I'll drop a bit of olive oil in there just to keep it nice and loose. Normally I wouldn't use olive oil in the water. There's no real need to if you're just doing pasta on its own. But because I'm putting the cauliflower in with the pasta, it's dropped the temperature of the water. And usually you don't need to add oil to keep your pasta separate, as long as your water is boiling furiously. Hot tip from the top. I think that was probably a Gino De Campo trick that I, or lesson that I learned from him. But because I've dropped the frozen cauliflower in there, obviously it's lowered the temperature of the water. So therefore the pasta has a chance of sticking. So stir in a little bit of olive oil and hopefully that won't happen. Right, that's that done. Bacon's in the oven. Turn that down low. Pasta and cauliflower is on boiling. Time to start making my bechamel. I love making bechamel. It's like magic happening in a pan. Absolutely love making it. Apart from the odd couple of times when I've forgotten about it and burnt it, which is a bit silly, but there you go. Right. Come on, switch on. Scales. Firstly, I'm slightly disappointed today because my shiny new Xbox One console is still out of action. I got a phone call late yesterday afternoon from the retailer, Simply Games, saying, very, very sorry, but... wrong button. We're very, very sorry, but your controller hasn't arrived with us. Our deliveries have all been late today. So there's me singing the praises of DPD, and then they were late getting my controller back. But, not the end of the world. They basically just said, look, we're really sorry, but you're not going to get it back. I should have had it back today, being Wednesday. She says, but I'm sorry, it's not going to be back to you tomorrow. And I said, okay, fair enough. I've just had an email from them now saying that they've had it back, they have tested it, and they do agree that it is faulty. So therefore, they are happy to replace it. Right, so that should be with me back with me tomorrow. I still haven't got my farming simulator working, which I'm very disappointed about. But it's not the end of the world. Had a reasonably early night again last night, just making up for it. I'll probably do the same again tonight, and then back on it tomorrow. So yes, I mentioned yesterday, I was just putting in my butter into the pan, incidentally. I use a standard mix for any bechamel that I make. The roux, I always use around about 75 or 80 grams of butter to 75 or 80 grams of flour, plain flour, of course. Depending on what size dish that I'm making. I'm making quite a large dish here, so I'm using 80 grams of butter and 80 grams of flour. And then I'll use probably about a pint and a half of milk to go into that to make a good loose bechamel sauce, because there's no worse than a dry collie mac cheese. Anyway, yes, so I mentioned yesterday that I was hoping to get my controller back so I could level up my character on Destiny, ready for the upcoming DLC. Well, to the uninitiated, some of you may not know what DLC is. Well, let me blooming tell you. DLC, downloadable content. Yes. Otherwise, in some circles, known as the scourge of modern video gaming. Because it really is a bit of a con. Essentially, when you go into a shop now, if you are a gamer or you are familiar with this concept, I do apologise for teaching you to suck eggs, but it's something that a lot of people won't be familiar with. And if you are buying video games this Christmas for your loved ones, your nearest and your dearest indeed, it may be worth knowing that quite often what you are buying is not what you perceive you are buying. So when you walk into your high street shop to buy your video game... When I say high street shop, if you're planning on going to a high street shop that would obviously be selling games, you would think that they would know everything about games, that possibly you wouldn't sell anything else but games, can I just suggest that you're quite cautious and check and double check and triple check your prices, because they aren't necessarily the best value for money, nor do they give you the best information. I will say no more on that. If anybody would like any further information on that subject, please drop me a PM or phone me or something. I will happily fill you in. Just adding my flour to my melted butter. Pan's got a little bit too hot, so I have to be careful here. Take off the heat. Yeah, that was too hot. So yes, when you go into your high street shop to buy a video game, the price that you see on the front of the box, on the sticker, is probably not the actual price of the game. It's probably about half of the price of the game, believe it or not. What the current trend is with most AAA titles, the big titles, the ones that you will see advertised on mainstream media, your Call of Duties, your Battlefields, your Grand Theft Autos, your Assassin's Creeds, in my case, Destiny. When you buy the game, you get the complete game. You get a complete package. So you will get a story. In the case of Destiny, the story is a little bit dubious because the story is not very good in Destiny. Apparently they had some dispute with writers or something like that. Consequently, the story doesn't really make any sense. But the gameplay vastly makes up for it. Anyway, but usually you will have a story. Within most games now, you have a good story. So you have a beginning, a middle, and an end to your story. You will have a full complement of weapons and armor and things that you can either obtain straight away or unlock by, you know, performing tasks, missions, leveling your character up, etc. within the game, which you would expect, and that's perfectly good. And you can, in theory, walk into a store, pay £40, and have a complete game, and you would never need to spend another penny. However, in games such as, let's take Call of Duty for an example, because that's the sort of most well-known one from outside gaming circles, I would guess. So Call of Duty. The story part of Call of Duty games has rapidly disintegrated over recent years, to the point where it's almost non-existent now. You will usually find that the story lasts for a few hours. 10 hours at the most, realistically, on a story these days. Maybe 20 if you drag your heels. But that's not very good. I think the last one, I haven't played the current or Advanced Warfare, but Call of Duty Ghosts, I think, was about 6 hours long if you played it quickly. So the game is all focused on multiplayer. And now multiplayer in Call of Duty is essentially running around, interacting with other players across the planet and shooting them, basically, either as a team or as an individual or performing sort of like capture the flag type games, that kind of thing. And you perform these games on maps, what we call maps. You may know them if you are not a gamer as levels, that we used to call them in the younger days. But no, they're called maps. So areas of play, arenas of battle, if you like. We call them maps. Now, when you buy the game, you will have a set number of maps in which you can perform a multiplayer gaming on. There could be 10, 15 maps, and within those maps you can perform various different types of gameplay. So you can do your capture the flags or this kind of thing. So there's a fair bit of content to go there. And for the first few months, everybody would be playing on the same maps. But then, after a couple of months, the developers will release something called DLC, which essentially is extra maps. Sometimes you get a little bit of extra story, but not usually with Call of Duty. It's usually just extra maps, extra arenas of play. Maybe a few extra weapons, maybe an extra skill or something, maybe an extra bit of body armor, something like that, something to entice you in. But essentially what they are giving you are new maps, new areas of play. Now, you have to pay for these, and if you don't pay for them, then no real shakes. You can still carry on playing the original game as normal. But when you try and play multiplayer, you find yourself playing with some people 1 minute, and then suddenly you'll get a message saying, you do not have the required content to play this game. Because they've bought the downloadable content, the extra content, the expansion pack, and they are playing on the new maps, the new levels, and you don't own those new levels. So you kind of get left behind, unless you go and spend lots of pennies. Yep. That's how most games are now. Most games rely on an expansion pack. So basically, when you buy a game, you pretty much know that you're only buying half of it. And you are looking at usually around about the same price again in order to get the what they either the season pass or the expansion pass or whatever you want to call it, which will get you all of the extra bits of content that they send down to you. Now, this is not the same as your sort of your Farmville or your Candy Crush, where you can buy little bits of game, where you can buy extra lives or extra weapons or anything like that. Although you can do that in some cases, this is actually full blown game content. And you're talking prices that, I mean, I've just paid for the Destiny expansion pass, and I'll come onto that in more detail in a minute, but I've just paid £35 for it. Well, slightly less, because I got, I bought some money cheaper. I found a great way of buying cheap money. It's great. I can actually buy money for less than it's actually worth. It's brilliant. Honestly. I'll tell you in a minute. But anyway, yeah, I've just paid £35 in theory for the downloadable content expansion pass for Destiny. Destiny's slightly different. Yes, there are multiplayer arenas where you can play against other people if you so wish. But the main part of Destiny is the missions. And missions to be played either solo or cooperative missions. And this gives you a whole new place to go to. An all new area to explore. And loads of new missions to do and tasks to do. And weapons to find and loot to discover. And all this kind of thing. It's all generally good stuff. And I do love the game. I've put an awful lot of time into it, and I will put an awful lot of more time into it as well, because it is so blinking good. I don't mind paying out that kind of money. Do you know? It's doubling the life of the game, because I'll get some next week. The first lot comes down next week, and then in about a couple of months' time, there'll be another batch. And the good thing about Destiny is the developers, Bungie Games, are listening to their players. Really, they're listening to their customers, and they are developing the game accordingly, which is really, really refreshing. You know. The sort of players are saying, look, we're frustrated because we can't do this, or we'd really like to be able to do this. And Bungie going, okay, then, well, we'll see what we can do. And they're actually implementing stuff all the time, which I personally think is brilliant, you know. And that's kind of what they're doing here with the expansion packs as well. They're kind of listening, and they're incorporating some things that, you know, we as the players would have been asking for, which is really good. Really good indeed. I'll get this batch next week, and then another batch will come down in a couple of months' time, probably March time, something like that. So it's kind of expanding the life of the game, which is fine, but it's frustrating, the fact that you've got to buy this this extra content these days. You can't not, really. If you really, really love a game, you know that whatever you see on the front of the box in the shop, you're going to double it. You're going to double it. It's been accepted, really. It's just the norm now. Nobody's kind of kicking off and up in arms about it. It's just one of those things where you kind of play, you pay your money, you make your choice. And if you want to get the most out of your game, then realistically you're going to be buying the expansion packs, which is quite frustrating. I did a blog on this quite a while ago. I don't think I'll be able to post a link to it because I kind of lifted it. I was writing for a gaming website, a gaming community website, and I had a few, probably quite a few articles on their website. And then we found out that the owner of the website was a scurrilous beep. So we essentially, basically we destroyed him on Twitter. Because we found out he'd been doing lots of backstabbing and unpleasant stuff to pretty much everybody who he knew. He came under a load of attack one night, and he was forced to shut down his website. But before he had a chance to do so, I dived in there and got all of my content, all of my audio boos and my written articles and everything else. I got them all off there and onto my own blog. But I just dumped them into a dormant blog, so they're not formatted or anything. Which basically means that I can't really post a link to it, because it probably wouldn't make any sense. So, but I did write a blog about this, because what came to light a couple of years ago, there was a shareholders conference for EA Games, or formerly known as Electronic Arts. The CEO, I think his name was John Ricciatello, I think he was at the time. I think he's now left. But he was essentially addressing this room full of shareholders and talking about not so much downloadable content, although that was part of his thing. But what he was also talking about was this thing that I mentioned earlier about the freemium type stuff, what they call freemium games, where like your Farmville and stuff, or your Clash of Clans, or your Candy Crush, which is free to download and play, and you can play if you want, and it won't cost you a penny. But if you want to do really, really well, then the temptation to spend money and buy extra bits for it is very, very strong, and hence why you see all these stories of kids spending a fortune on their parents'. On their parents' credit cards and stuff, buying blinking virtual fish for aquariums and stuff. Trust me, my cousin did it. Her son spent £95 on virtual fish to go into a virtual aquarium in a game on his iPod. Trust me, that's true. And that's happening all over the place. Essentially, don't give your kids your password for your iTunes account. it's quite simple, really. But hey, that's what that's all about. And what this kind of John Ricitello guy was saying was that for games such as Battlefield, which is very similar to Call of Duty, it's a run around as a soldier shooting people, he was talking about implementing this freemium model into the game. Now, to some degree, that kind of works for me, because what you tend to find is when you play these games, you have a choice of characters or a choice of roles that you want to play within the game. So potentially what he was saying was that if you only wanted to play as an engineer, for example, you would just basically buy the content that got you the ability to play as an engineer. If you then wanted to play as a medic, you would have to buy the extra content to play as a medic, which kind of sounds good, because if you think that the game's like £40, for example, and you only wanted to play as one aspect of it, you could maybe only pay £20 for the game, for example. That's what he's kind of implying. But what he was also suggesting was that he could introduce in-game purchases, such as you can do with the mobile phone games. And what he basically said was, this is to his shareholders, remember, if somebody's in the heat of a battle, about to win the game, and they run out of ammo, having to press a button to agree to pay a dollar to refill their ammunition is possibly a good idea, because at that point in time, they're not exactly price sensitive. And that's pretty much a word for word quote. What he was basically saying was that you could potentially charge players to refill their ammunition. Okay, so basically the thing is that, you know, a lot of these games are on a timer or something, or you know, you've got to complete so many missions in order to win. And what he's basically saying is that, you know, if you are close to winning and you run out of ammunition, whereas normally within the game you would have to run around and find some or rely on another player to give you that ammunition, what he's basically saying is that you could flash a message up on the screen saying, "Do you want to refill your ammo? It's only going to cost you a dollar." And you're just bound to press yes, because you're in the heat of battle. You're just about to win the game. You're just about to be victorious. And really, they can grab you while you're at your most vulnerable, which I thought was an evil thing to be suggesting. And fair enough, he was talking to his shareholders, who obviously were all after earning money, but earning money is a loose term when it comes to that. That's just dodgy stuff, man. But I think that in their defence, EA got a lot of stick for that. And they've kind of changed their outlook quite a lot, really. In fact, EA now have done this thing called... I'm digressing a lot here, actually. EA Access, which you can get on the Xbox now, which costs... you can buy it for £4 a month, or you can buy it for £19.99 for a 12-month subscription. And essentially, that gives you access to... It gives you discounts on certain EA games if you want to download them. But it also gives you access to something called the EA Vault, which is... essentially a collection of EA games, which you can play for free. Well, for free, obviously you paid you £20, but that gives you the ability to get these games without any extra cost. And they're quite big games. I've got like FIFA 14, Battlefield, I've got Plants vs. Zombies, which is great, Peggle 2, which is fan-dabby-dozy, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of different games you can get. And I think I've got 6 games at the minute for free. From Electronic Arts, from EA, which is a bit of a turnaround from where their attitude was sort of 18 months ago. But yeah, so that's DLC, that's what it's all about. Oh yes, I was going to tell you, how did I bought money for less than it's worth. Back in the day, we used to have on Xbox Live, we used to be able to buy Microsoft points, which didn't really correlate to real hard cash at all. So for example, you'd buy sort of 800 points, and 800 points would cost you about £5. So 800 points would realistically be about a fiver in the real world. If you bought them direct from Microsoft, but there was always the ability to buy your points cheaper from other places, various online outlets, occasionally stores like Game, if you were crazy enough to go in there, would also offer them at a discount, which was quite good. But then they stopped doing these points, and now they just do everything in hard-earned cash. But you can buy gift vouchers, what they call Microsoft Credit. You can buy gift vouchers just the same as you would buy gift vouchers for John Lewis or Marks and Spencer's. But if you're going to buy a gift voucher in John Lewis, you walk into John Lewis and you say, can I have a £30 gift voucher? And they say, yes, you can. That's £30, please. And that, excuse me, just testing to see if my macaroni's cooked. And yes, it is. That's £30, please. And they take £30 from you and they give you a card that is valued at £30. So then you give it to your loved one and say, there you go, there's £30 to spend in John Lewis. And they go, oh, thank you very much. So £30 equals £30. However, that doesn't work in the gaming world. I just bought £50 worth of Microsoft Credit, okay, for £43. I went onto a website called cdkeys.com. And you can see it there for yourself. £50 of Microsoft Credit, £43.90, I believe, I paid for it. So essentially, I got £6, over £6, discounted for buying £50. And that £50 is worth £50. I can go into the Microsoft store and I can spend £50. It's not worth any less. It still credits my account with £50. I kid you not. It's actually, if you were so inclined, you could make some money off of it, because all that gives you, that £50, or the £43.90 that I paid, gives me a code. And that code allows me to, that code that I then input into my Xbox or onto the website, and it adds the credit to my account. Now then, if I was to give that code to somebody else, they could put the code into their Xbox and do it. So effectively, you could buy these things for £43.90 and sell them for £48. And someone's still getting £50 worth of credit, £48. You make a few pounds profit, they save a couple of quid, or they think they're saving a couple of quid, and all is good. Yeah, bizarre. How can you possibly buy 50 quid for £43.90? Just wouldn't happen anywhere else in the world, but it does. Strange. Anyway, I've probably bored you stupid, so I'm going to shut my mouth and carry on finishing off my Collie Mac cheese. Just draining off my Mac and Collie, and I'm just about to add the cheese to my bechamel, which is now looking lovely. I'll take that pan off there because I don't want that in there anymore. Of course, I'm saving the drain water from my pasta, which you should always do. And then if you find your pasta's sugar, that's hot. And then if you find that your pasta's a little bit dry, you can just put a few ladlefuls of the yumminess that is your pasta water into it. Stick that on my trivet, and then my bacon should be cooked, I think. Let's just check that. No, it's not. Garlic's looking nice though. Turn it up a little bit, can't I? Took it a bit quicker. Grate the cheese, wait in a bechamel. Job is a good one. Job is a good one. So anyway, yes, I probably bored you stupid now about DLC and video games and stuff, so I'm going to shut my mouth and disappear and leave you all to it. And hopefully, I'll speak to you all again soon. Take care, guys. Thanks for listening. And just be aware. Careful which shop you buy your video games from. Seriously, I'll help you if you want me to. I can probably save you lots of pennies. I'll catch you later, guys. Take care now. Bye-bye.